It's a recap Monday here on RBKD. Today on the show, the Bengals, they're for real. Titans blast KC. What's going on with the Chiefs? Is this fixable? The Astros.
Astros!
Did advance. We have our World Series set. We'll take a look at that. And some changes in West Texas with the Red Raiders. Who should Tech go after? Plus, we're going to talk some Texas Baylor. As I said, it's really a recap Monday here on the Horn. He went from DB High to DBU. Somehow ended up in Detroit. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone, yet does discriminate against white food. Never had vanilla ice cream. That's weird. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn. But first, a lifetime Austinite, a conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. My man was a reality TV star before it even was a thing. And yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you and your whole team. That is my man, my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing great today.
Good weekend, huh?
Yeah, bye weekend, and I took the whole weekend off.
Good for you. You deserve it.
I slept like a squirrel.
How do squirrels sleep?
About 15, 16 hours a day.
Oh, squirrels sleep that much?
So I did go rabbit holing, of course.
Okay.
This weekend.
Yeah, squirrels that do have a high energy.
So I just started wondering, where do they sleep?
Do they sleep in like the trees?
They do. They've got nests, but they've got different areas. But yeah, they create these multiple nests.
Yeah, I think they sleep up in the trees.
Up in the trees. But you got flying squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
You got tree squirrels.
My dogs hate squirrels. Squirrels are, they taunt you too.
Oh.
I think I've witnessed a squirrel sexual assault on my premises.
Squirrel on squirrel?
Multiple male squirrels, I had throw rocks at them. I think they were trying.
I've done that. I've yelled at them.
It did not look consensual. I'll just say that. So I threw a rock at the squirrels because it did not look like it was consensual behavior going on. And even
a lot of the sex in the wild isn't consensual.
Well, even the squirrels on my damn property, you need consent. All right, you can get it.
I agree. I totally agree.
Consent is needed there.
I've done the same thing.
All creatures, okay?
With squirrels. So, I didn't know if it was a rape or just a fight. I started yelling at them just to scare them.
I watched about 5 or 6 minutes of it, and at first I was like,
Five or six minutes? You waited that long?
No, well, because I didn't.
What are you on the New York subway?
Well, I had to make sure they were playing. Were they joking around? Was it when he got. So I watched it escalate.
Okay.
And then I saw it go. I saw it go from just a, I don't know what it was, just strange, random, misbehaving squirrels,
right?
All right, up to hijinks and whatever it was. Yeah, but then it got violent, and then she started running around.
Are these the neighborhood boys stealing pies?
She was running from them. She ran around my fence line, ran up into the tree, came back, and then they were like in near the garden beds. And
right, that's an assault.
That's why I
good for you. Good for you. I've done the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm glad I don't feel as weird now.
It's got to be done. No, intervene with all assaults.
Agreed.
No matter the species. There's two bears.
Alligator on alligator.
Gotta be honest.
But I'd scream.
Two squirrels on my property. I'm good with that. But yeah, you're right. Missing bears. Yeah, even two like pit bulls going at it. Probably not gonna get in the middle of that. Two regular dogs, I'll do it. Two cats, I wouldn't go in between two cats. Cats are wild.
Unless you want to get torn up.
Exactly.
But you can scare them.
You can scare them. Throw a rock at them.
You and you're throwing rocks. You can just use your voice and presence, and they will usually scram.
This voice doesn't scare people like that.
That's true. That makes you attack you.
It's so high pitched. Sounds like a squirrel.
I've always hated Kevin Hart's work. I don't know why cats would think that.
That's why I throw stuff.
And, that's why you got rocks.
Yeah.
Apparently, you're carrying rocks all the time.
My voice doesn't intimidate. Same reason I don't talk dirty in bed.
I understand that. You told me that.
Voice,
I get that.
Yeah. The Kevin Hart voice doesn't really translate
it
to
doesn't.
The sexy talk. You know, and she, you know, you don't want a woman laughing in bed. That's the worst.
Yeah.
So I just shut up and work.
So
focus.
All of that, show you the Monday we're going to have, and John's looking at us. All of that was just me saying I slept a bunch.
You did. You said I slept like a squirrel.
And I mentioned
this.
Like a squirrel.
That's what took the whole thing
left. Went down.
Boom. That was you. So you technically...
I put the car in neutral. I didn't mean to go down the whole hill.
Well, keep your foot on the brake. Like Sark could've. In the second half.
You're right.
Oh,
look at you.
Booyah! Come on.
Look at you.
We coming in.
You know, we get a bye week. By the way, I felt nauseous at about like 1:30 or 2 on Saturday, because that's usually when we're in the second half. And I was like, what's going on here? And I thought, oh, that's it.
That's usually when my stomach drops. Boom.
It was not a good college football weekend. I told you that on Thursday or Friday, that for a bye week, I want 1 versus 7. Yeah. I want 3 versus 11. I want 3 top 25 matchups, and I want some sexy matchups.
Yeah, you didn't get that.
But college football still delivers.
It still delivers.
We still got 9 overtimes and an 18 or 2018 game. They got to change that rule.
It's such a Big Ten.
They got to change
that
rule.
Only the Big Ten can have 9 overtimes to end up being 20.
So that was during one of my naps, and I woke up and saw that, and I thought,
"Which overtime did you wake up in?"
I thought, I didn't wake up. No, I woke up and just saw the final score and said,
"Oh, I know
what." And I'd forgotten the rule.
Yeah. No, they switched to 2-point conversions, basically. What is it, third or fourth?
Can you imagine having the over for that and thinking this year of all years?
Yeah, seriously. 20-18 is it 9 overtimes?
9 overtimes.
That's crazy, man.
A new record.
Yeah, that's what college football is great. That's why college football is great. Like, who would expect that game?
Penn State goes down.
Penn State went down. And just last week,
Kansas up 10-0 on Oklahoma at half.
Oh, yeah, that was freaky. And then Caleb Williams, a play where we don't even know. Technically, they said it is legal, but it had to have been
forward. It shouldn't be.
If forward progress would have been stopped, then it wouldn't have been legal, but it was legal.
We just helped the offense out on everything now.
Oh, no.
Iowa State, they're talking about that spot. The offensive lineman picked him up and got him even closer to that spot, which was still short.
On the last play. But yeah, he did. That was a great play by that old lineman.
It was, but Booger McFarland goes, "I'm not sure about that spot." Booger, you're a defensive lineman. Offensive lineman picking him up.
There were so many great efforts on that play. The two safeties from Iowa State who came in full speed. That's how you launch yourself like a missile and actually make the play. The Todd Orlando.
Yeah, and not get flagged.
But they did. I mean, they stopped the forward progress, both of those safeties. But it was great to see the lineman for Oklahoma State grab the ball carrier and try to pull him over. You just saw
and no flag.
You just saw great instincts because, I mean, the same thing happened with Caleb Williams, right? I mean, he grabs the ball from his own running back on a fourth down where he knows.
It was feeling the desperation on both of them.
He knew they weren't going to get the first down. They're going to stop us.
I might as well do this. If I get flagged, whatever.
That guy has you got to admit, Caleb Williams' instincts are crazy. This guy dropped
he's
the pass.
He's got instincts. Stop the Heisman stuff, but he's got instincts.
He dropped the snap against Texas and threw a touchdown. Remember that play?
What are you doing here? Yes, it was a bye week.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's two shots.
The young man's got great instincts. I know, against Kansas, it's
9
easy,
minutes.
But just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I know. But so the Big 12 is open. We're going to get into that. The second spot is open. Oklahoma, though, this is the weakest college football year I've seen in a long time. The product's amazing, so I'm not getting on that.
It is.
And it actually makes it fun because it's open.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get parity in an open landscape with at least 3 or 4 high-level teams. We don't really have that this year. Georgia. We've got Clemson. You know that SP plus ranking you're always talking about?
Yeah, Bill Conley's.
Yeah, Bill Conley.
Advanced metric.
You know who's number 4 in that?
It's taking a beating right now.
You know, you know why? Because it's BS. It's a bunch of crap. You know who's number 4
should
in that?
Should be BS plus.
It should be BS plus. The BSP. We're predicting, shut up, just like everyone was predicting in August. What? So you know who's number 4 in that week?
Who is this
week, after everything. Clemson.
That's crazy.
Because of the preseason stuff. Drop that. I don't care. That's weighting the ranking right now?
Yeah. Put the eye test in that damn algorithm.
And lost to Pitt by 10.
No, you've been calling Clemson all year long. I will give you that.
Beat the pluck win this week.
And you've pretty much, if you brought this up earlier, you're like, if you basically have bet against Clemson all year.
All year.
You've made a ton of money.
It was.
Because they haven't.
It was stealing money the first 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. Now you're right. Now Vegas is a little wise.
Well, they still had Clemson as a 3-point dog. Pitt wins by 10. Ching, ching. Thank you, Clemson. I'm going to write Dabo a thank you card, Christmas card. Just say thank you very much.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens next year with Clemson. If next year it's down year, then they may be doing kind of replicating what Texas did.
They could be
2010. I don't see it happening.
I'm not going to call it yet. They've got 17. Dabo said that. They've got a lot of guys out. But it also is a time where it's going to be cyclical for them. So you lose 2 quarterbacks. We brought this up. You kind of hit it early. 2 transcendent quarterbacks.
Vince Young, Cole. Like,
with an offensive line that is not good. They played a little bit better on Saturday, missing their best guy, but still lost by 10. See the shovel pass by DJ?
Uyunglele.
Oh, you gotta! You always give one more lay. I like when you give another lay. Give another lay for the
no,
people.
No, I don't mean to give another
lay. Uyunglele. Yeah, Uyunglele. So he's got a shovel pass. Take him back for 7 or 6.
Oh yeah. Did he really? Yeah. I didn't watch the game.
He got pulled, then okay. came back in. Mm-hmm. So they're dealing with some stuff right now. It's yeah. open, though. That's the point. It's open, and that's fun.
It does. I mean, Georgia looks like the top dog right now, no pun intended.
They do.
They do.
They haven't opened up offensively.
No,
they haven't had to.
They don't need to. They can hold teams to under 24 points, usually. I mean, who scored the most against them this year?
Do you know what they're giving up?
I know, some ridiculous number.
I believe I saw it, 5.6.
That's crazy. So
there you go.
No, it doesn't
good
make
luck.
Any sense. Yeah.
Georgia,
good
Florida this that. Weekend. It's a better slate this weekend for college football.
It's still going to deliver. It delivered this week.
I said it's a better one. So, of course, it'll deliver.
Win over Oklahoma State.
It delivered this weekend.
Illinois.
And I knew it would.
Yeah. So
because she always comes through.
You were just wanting to get the dime piece, the 10 from the club.
Yeah, because I had a weekend off.
Yeah,
that's why.
You got a 7, and she ended up rocking your world.
She did. But she came to the party as a 4.
No,
I got some goggles on by 2
she
a.m.
She was a 6.5.
She was a 6.5.
All right. 4. That's a 4. Come on.
Came into the weekend. Came into the party that way.
All right.
Finished off okay.
That's because you got tipsy.
Those are the goggles. Those are the goggles. Actually, I didn't. I just got like I got a lot of sleep, so it was good. Just rest, kind of. But I watched a ton of football.
Got a chance to be lazy.
Yeah, exactly.
No adulting.
It was weird.
That's good.
Really, none.
That's a break.
Yeah,
you can go.
What
no
about
adulting.
You?
Plenty of adulting.
You're breaking up squirrel fights. Well, more than that. Is that this weekend or
that was not this weekend? But that has happened on the property. But no, because I didn't have any excuse. I had no cow. I couldn't say I was watching Cowboys or the Longhorns for work.
Oh, you'd be a husband,
dude. That's
what was that like? It's your first time, really?
No, yeah, no bye week. Oh man, yeah. So plenty of errands.
Okay,
yeah, had stuff to do.
Gotcha.
So adulting,
pumpkin pictures and stuff like that.
Nah, but we did buy Halloween candy. Did buy the Halloween candy. Tons of it. Because I figured there'll be a Halloween rush this year because COVID canceled Halloween last year. So this year, I think the kids are just like ready to roll.
Please tell me you just got the normal stuff. Reese's, Snickers. You didn't go Almond Joy. Almond Joy's crap.
No, we got some of the,
you
didn't
get candy corn.
No. Candy corn is hard anyway because you can't
candy
find individually
disgusting.
Wrapped candy corn. So then people like try to wrap it.
You got
weird.
Like loose in the bottom of your bag.
Yeah,
candy
you know
corn.
What?
Yeah.
That's gross. Ugh. Candy corn. So no, we got the variety packs of a lot of stuff. Oh no, we got. Oh no, I'm only a name brand, top notch candy guy.
No Necco wafers or anything like
no,
that.
No, I told my wife when we got married that no, we were going to be bougie about our candy.
Not going to get your house wrapped.
Yeah, we don't want the kids getting
egged.
Get that reputation with the kiddos. All right, they don't like us around there. I don't get full size Snickers like Westlake.
No,
but,
trust me.
I've heard
trick or treated over here. There weren't many here that did that either.
But there was some though that gave you the full size candy bars.
There were a couple
in River Oaks. That's what happened in Houston, the rich part of Houston. A couple of full size candy bar houses. As a kid, you just hear about them. Yeah, but they were real.
Who's doing that?
I went to school with those kids. They were like, oh yeah, full size. Cause you can. You got so much money. You got to find something to do with it.
The people that grew up to do that were the kids that got the full-size candy bars as kids.
But I will say...
And they want to become the legend later.
Do you know how popular you are with kids around the neighborhood when you pull out a full-size candy? The parents are like, what the heck?
I only remember one.
Exactly,
it's
rare.
In Woodsville, Westlake.
It's rare.
And they would give out full-size stuff. But it wasn't like a Snickers bar, but it was full-size.
Full-size Kit Kat or
Twix.
Whatever, Mr. Good Bar. You're like,
kidding
oh,
me?
Yeah, it just blows your mind. Like,
this is huge.
So, man, one day we'll be
that. That's
blessed.
What Rod aspires to be.
That is true.
All right, let's get into the NFL. Because the NFL was good. We missed, we said, I had you talk over the Bengals with me. And
I
agreed with you, but I also said the Bengals can win this game.
You did.
Which you're like, yeah, they could win this game. But we wanted to see how for real they were. We knew their defense was really good. Damn, man. Pretty impressive. And Ja'Marr Chase really is running impressive. Away with Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, the Ja'Marr Chase stats are just freaky. I got a bunch of them, but here's one. Right now, with his 754 receiving yards, according to Pro Football Talk, it's the most ever through the first seven games.
Damn. He had 201 yesterday.
You got to go all the way back to, according to him, 1954, 685 by Harlan, I think it's Harlan Hall, actually. But it's his stats are crazy, man. He's on pace for, in 17 games, 85 receptions, over 1,800 yards, and almost 15 touchdowns. So we'll see if he stays on that pace. But the deadliest quarterback wide receiver combo right now in the NFL is Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
Believe it or not, I mean, let that soak in. That is the most lethal quarterback wide receiver combo right now in the league.
And then he's got Uzuma and then Higgins and Boyd to go with it.
Yeah,
and
he's
then
got some weapons.
Joe Mixon can run. Their line, which was a big question, is doing their job. They went 41-17 over Baltimore, and Baltimore had been red hot. They're still in good shape, but Baltimore's coming in at 5-1. But Cincinnati just announced their presence with authority.
Yeah, I mean, I did not expect them to. It's one thing of beating Baltimore. I mean, that happens.
Beat them the way they did.
They dominated Baltimore, and they dominated them on the line of scrimmage.
Their defense.
Yeah, it was the lines of scrimmage and their defense. I mean, Baltimore couldn't get anything going on the ground. I mean, you're talking about a ground attack that has been arguably one of the most dominant and most consistently dominant in the history of the NFL. That's what, remember the whole Harbaugh streak?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That he wanted to keep alive, and yet they kept that Baltimore rushing attack under wraps. I mean, I think all of them combined for like 115 yards or something like that combined. So, and then once Cincinnati got out to a lead, Baltimore didn't have, they didn't abandon the running game, but the running game wasn't as effective, as relevant as it usually is when they're in the game because they were down double digits.
And they're putting spots at 4th and 7 in their own territory where they have to go for it. They just kind of got put in that spot. The game was actually, I watched it, it was actually closer probably than that score would tell you.
They pulled away late.
But Cincinnati was a better team, too.
No doubt.
So there's no question about that, at least on Sunday. Burrow goes for 416. Yeah, he's killing it right now. And I asked you, kind of gave you five or six of the younger quarterbacks, which one would you take? And we were kind of struggling through it, but Burrow was up there.
I like Burrow.
Very high on our list. Yeah. I didn't write it down. But huge win for the Bengals. So both those teams are 5-2 right now. We got some trouble in Kansas City, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into a lot of the numbers.
Yeah. And I will say, I brought up a lot of the reasons that Kansas City was struggling last week. Their turnover numbers. And right now, Patrick Mahomes is tied for the lead in interceptions in the NFL with 9.
Yeah.
I mean, that Kansas City is, and it's really the.
We should have gone with your gut on this game and my gut on the other game.
Probably so. Yeah. Yeah, well, at least more the data for me. The data that the stats I gave you about the defense, I kept asking, how is Kansas City going to stop Derrick Henry? And ironically, it wasn't Derrick Henry that beat him.
It wasn't Derrick Henry that beat him.
It was Ryan Tannehill.
And turnovers.
They had 3 total turnovers, 2 by Mahomes. He had a fumble loss, and he also had an interception in that game. There seems to be a bit of a formula out there on Patrick Mahomes.
I've given that, too.
Yeah, just don't blitz him. You go with the 2 high shell looks most of the time, 2 man under looks, and try to make them march the length of the field. Not that different than what teams were doing in the Big 12 to Lincoln Riley and Spencer Rattler. And he seems to get impatient and is making mistakes. And that defense
is awful.
It arguably, I'm not joking, it might be the worst defense in the league. You think that's hyperbole, Robbie. No. It might be the worst defense in the league.
I disagree.
Kansas City's that bad.
I disagree.
Who's Texans, of course. Well, Texans might be better.
No, I don't think it might be.
Oh, you think it is? No discussion is what you're saying.
I don't think there's discussion. No, Texans have a better defense. Texans are great, but Texans have their own problems. Yeah. Speaking of the Texans, because we'll get back more into the Chiefs and 1-and-done.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff I've talked about with blitzing and how to play Patrick Mahomes, that's part of it. I think there are some fixes. I think there's some stuff that aren't fixes. And so they're going to be struggling at this point to try and get in to the playoffs. 31-5, got up 5-0, man. Felt good. I felt good. I took the money line on this one. No, I didn't. And this line had gotten up to 20 or 21, which is so Texans. Much. They end up covering that. But the Cardinals look dead in the first half. And you know what? The Texans, defensively, they do have some pieces.
They have spirit.
They've got some pieces.
They have spirit. They've got spirit.
Yes, they do.
No, it really is.
They've got spirit.
How about you? No, the Texans fans know. But they do. They play. They fight. I mean, they got some heart. They just don't have any talent.
And they're on the field a bunch.
And they're on the field a bunch. Hey, listen, I'll give it up. Davis Mills has actually shown progress throughout this season, if you want to look at that as a bright spot. Hey, how about this? Charles Omenihu, your former intern, intern at the Horn, he led defensive linemen in defensive snaps. He had 39 on that defensive line. So when they got rid of our, they basically decided to cut ties with Whitney Mercilus. One of the positive sides of that is that Charles Omenihu, they want to invest more in him, something you brought up. Hey, why not start investing in developing some of these other guys while you're rebuilding? So investing in some of this younger talent, developing it, I think that was part of that move. Cut ties with the old big money. We know he can produce. But let's start to invest some snaps in guys like Charles Omenihu. So him,
Malik Collins, who actually had a sack.
Ross Blacklock played 37 snaps. So I think they're kind of going with your idea, like, hey.
I call him Ross.
Ross. But it's like, that's not totally chalk this season up as a loss. Let's try to get some type of positive return on investment in this season. And development is how you do it.
Study your baseball team, which is going to the World Series for the third time
in
5 years.
That form system, they were working it.
And I'm not saying
you're right.
All you Rangers or anyone else fans out there, I'm not saying study the other stuff. Study that as you're tanking, you can actually still be growing and developing.
The
Astros can do it in a better way because, as I've said, the teams are separate. So you can have the AA and AAA team. We're doing everything we can to develop them. And we're hoping we lose on this side.
Mm-hmm.
But to what they may be in the same building, but that could also be practice squad, and that could be guys that are playing right now.
Yeah, like their farm system. And that's a great point about the Astros. I mean, look at all the guys now. I mean, all the guys they lost, the big-name guys they lost, they just leaning now on their homegrown talent.
Yeah, it's disgusting as a Cubs fan.
Right? They're just leaning on now.
It's disgusting.
It is. It really is amazing. Something else that's amazing is our friends at ASCO Equipment. They understand that the real work doesn't wait. Deadlines don't wait. Job sites don't wait. And that's why ASCO offers a wide range of equipment for service in a number of different departments like agriculture, construction, oil and gas, local governments, landscaping, material handling, and infrastructure. ASCO also offers service of every product they sell, whether it's just routine maintenance or major repairs, warranty service, or equipment inspections. The ASCO service department has over 200 factory-trained certified technicians and 140 field service trucks to give you 24/7 service and support. So ASCO has locations all over this great state. Whether you need to buy, rent, purchase parts, or service parts, ASCO wants to be the very first call when you have any equipment needs. So no matter whether you're digging, grading, or loading, ASCO has a full line of Case Construction equipment to help you get the job done right. Two brands you can trust, Case Construction Parts and ASCO Equipment. That is a championship tag team. At ASCO, we're on it, whatever it is, faster than the speed of our customers' needs. Visit them today at ascoeq.com. That's ASCOEQ.com.
All right, NFL East is over, Rod.
Oh, it's been over.
And we've been saying it's over.
But you're right. Now the bye week has solidified it.
Now you guys got this.
Yeah, now the bye week has solidified it.
It's just, and as we've been watching them, too.
They're getting worse. The Eagles.
It's over, assuming one guy stays healthy. I mean, just put that caveat in there.
You know what? If the Cowboys would invest more in their backup quarterback,
you wouldn't have to say that.
You wouldn't have to say that. And I'm not saying that to actually curse Dak or anything like that or bring him bad luck. But the Cowboys should. This little scare here with the calf injury, to me, is why the Cowboys, and they said they're going to be open to trade offers, so that's a good thing. They're looking to improve themselves in any way. But one of the ways they probably need to improve with a 17-game season, man, the likelihood of your quarterback missing a game here or a game there, that likelihood is increasing more and more.
It's going to happen.
Right? And now,
it's not going to matter with everyone else 2-5.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And with all the parity going on, and the NFL just seems crazy and wacky lately, man, you could easily kind of fall behind in the playoff picture, whether you're talking about seeding or whether you're talking about trying to win the division. So I would like the Cowboys to invest a little bit more in the backup quarterback position just because Dak last year, and now Dak's dealing with another injury. Who knows if Dak re-injures it, knock on wood. So that's something they could do. It's weird that, it's the most important position on the field, and yet people don't treat it like you should have insurance on that really big investment. I always say you have insurance on all the things in your life that matter to you, health, car, house,
yep.
you should have it on the quarterback position, and that's the backup quarterback position.
And they haven't had that, so that may be the one weakness they have right now. We'll talk more NFL coming up. Also get into a little college football recap coming up at 4 o'clock. Obviously, a lot of Texas Baylor talk, not only today, but on the show all week long as we get ready for Texas' next opponent. It'll be a ranked opponent. It'll be in Waco. Coming up next, and then there were two. We got two teams left in Major League Baseball. The Astros advanced, so did the Braves. We'll break that series down a little bit up next.
Welcome back to RBKD. You can always be a part of the show. You can follow us via Twitter. That's the best way to do it. All my tweets out there. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. And John Reichel at JS Reichel. John usually determines the musical theme for the day.
He teased us.
I got to tell you.
By that, I mean he took his shirt off. John, put it back on.
John is not shirtless.
No,
KD,
he's not.
KD is just joking around. But he is.
We really have to clarify that now, don't we?
Well, yeah, because we get wild on this show. I mean, so I don't want people to be like, man, and the producer was shirtless while they were talking about all kind of crazy stuff and sex and squirrel rapes and stuff. And then people just, they embellish.
Once again, that was you.
We don't want, you started. But we don't want them to embellish. But the theme for today, I got a feeling it has something to do with marching bands. Yeah.
That's right,
nice.
Folks. We got we had 1 week of playing pity party to ourselves, and it's time to, you know, get our school spirit up, and I'm going to be our marching band leader here, and I got a whole playlist of fun marching band covers of popular songs.
Bro. Who's this?
This is Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas.
No.
Kansas, okay.
Yeah, but the band itself is University of Iowa.
Oh, okay. I think even the Kansas band was doing that because it was Kansas.
Now, you would think, right, but that's not usually the case at all. It's really goofy how other universities will play like other states.
That does make sense, though, that you broke it down there.
Yeah, but I'll also play some UT band, too, but I got a lot of fun covers, and it might be fun for y'all to try to guess it, too, because these will be songs that you know.
Okay.
This is a great idea, John. You have a lot of great ideas, but this one is fantastic.
I love when the marching band does stuff I know.
I do, too. I think everybody does.
Don't turn this into Jeopardy and make all of us feel like dumb rubes that aren't really studying history enough, right? Whenever
was a composer from 1619, clearly you don't know and don't recognize it.
I don't. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Don't do that. Do something everybody knows.
Give me Sweet Caroline.
This is the song we played at Pep Rallies in 1860.
Yeah.
And decided to dust it off for this one.
Or usually it's some classical thing. It's I know y'all are music nerds. 90,000 of the 100,000. Check that. 99,000 of the 100,000 here aren't.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. No, I think that's a great idea. And you're about to get a ton of requests too, because I think our listeners probably like that idea.
I'm going to be pretty picky because I have been.
You're already doing it.
I know it, but I've also been looking through a lot of them, and a lot of them are like recorded on like first gen iPhones in the stands, and everyone's cheering, and there's one drunk guy in the throat like, "Ah, I love the Who, that's great." So I'm only doing stuff I find like on Spotify and stuff like that. So,
I agree.
But I'll take requests. I'll at least read them.
No, John's doing a great job for us. Appreciate that. That is a very creative musical theme. All right, maybe the Astros, Go Astros, might need a little mojo, just a little musical mojo.
Y'all are doing okay.
You know what they have, though? They have the Rally Nuns.
Pardon me?
The Rally Nuns. The Astros. Have you not heard of the Rally Nuns?
Nuns that are rallying?
They're nuns who are big Astros fans. So
I think I've seen that on MLB.
You've seen this before?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't know they were rallying, though.
No, they are. Okay, apparently. Okay, so.
I can't tell if that thing's turned forward or backwards.
Mattress. I don't know. I don't want to disrespect the nuns.
I don't know.
I love the nuns. But Mattress Mac, everybody knows Mattress Mac, he says he will, in fact, have the Rally Nuns, about 60 of them, at games 1 and 2 of the World Series.
Breaking out the big guns.
I'm thrilled about it because they're great people. They're huge Astros fans. And they're a shining light in sometimes a sea of darkness.
Wow.
Sister Mary Catherine Doe, who threw out the ceremonial first pitch before game 6 of the ALCS, is thrilled to be coming to the World Series to support her Astros.
You guys are trying to play the God here.
Well, we got to balance out the evil that cheating scandal and the corruption. So now you need to balance that out. And as Catholics know, when you need to, you know, try to get over your evil that you've all that that you ignore evil
it,
mojo.
You ignore it and forget about it.
You gotta go to church. No, no, you get closer to God. You gotta hang out with holy people.
My family was telling me the wrong
thing. I'm not a Catholic, though. My wife is. But that's the gist of it.
Yeah, that's the gist of it.
But yeah, they're bringing the rally nuns out there.
Okay,
pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I understand that. Yeah, because you were being brought down before. Did they have a devil in the stands in 2017?
You know what? They might. Jason Sudeikis actually gave. Did you see Jason Sudeikis on SNL?
No. Is he good?
He was a devil on the news.
I saw some clips.
He was a devil, and he gave a shout out to the Astros.
Wow, he's like, I've been working. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
He's like, he gave a shout out to the Astros. I've been working with the Astros lately. And then he basically said he's got Tom.
I want
to
say he's got a deal with Tom Brady. Devil before, and he's pretty funny.
No, he was pretty funny actually. Jason Sudeikis,
because he just kind of talks normal, and but yeah. He tries to be.
He's pretty.
He's got a different voice, a little bit of different voice, but he's kind of just a guy.
No. It was pretty good. It wasn't bad. It was actually one of the better SNLs they've had in a while.
Well, I don't
know. I digress.
I don't know what you're doing or what you're promising in the afterlife. And what you're signing or giving away. But the fact that Framber Valdez gives you that performance, and then Luis Garcia comes in. Luis Garcia, the guy who in the championship series had a 45 ERA, in the playoffs had, I think, a 24 or 25 ERA, had knee problems, readjust some stuff in a bullpen, which can always be dangerous as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes 5 1/3, one-hit ball with 7 Ks?
I don't know what's going on. Now you got back-to-back performances by Framber Valdez.
Against a lineup that have been crushing.
Yeah.
Outside of the game before.
And Luis Garcia, who's a rookie right-hander, and then both of them have, based on the situation, arguably their career performances.
Yeah.
Something in that realm. Something like that. So, yeah.
And then Yordan just continued to be Yordan. Yordan, the last two games.
He's a machine.
He's a machine.
Yeah.
There are three guys I would not want. I mean, I wouldn't want to face any of these guys.
He's in a different world.
But let's say I had big league stuff. We can dream. There would be three guys I would not want to face right now. Just would say, let me walk them right away. And two are out of the playoffs. Chris Taylor and Kiki Hernandez. The other one's Yordan Alvarez, who can actually do just some ridiculous damage.
Couldn't believe it.
Bregman had two hits. That was it. You guys dominated.
Yeah.
Big three spot in the eighth for the insurance.
I think the big bright spot, at least for me, is that your starting pitching is starting to come around at the perfect time. The argument was once Lance McCullers went down that you were going to be starved for any starting pitching. It looked like that. For most of the ALDS, I mean, that's exactly how it looked. I think for 4 games, that's the way it looked. And then you get the clutch game from Framber Valdez, and now you get another clutch performance from Luis Garcia. I'm assuming Luis Garcia is going to start game 2. They haven't said that. They have said Framber is going to start game 1.
I would think so.
But they haven't said if Luis Garcia is going to start game 2. The assumption is he'll start game 2. And then game 3.
It'll be 5 days rest.
Jose Urquidy.
Yeah, probably go with Urquidy.
And then
that's still a question about what they have.
No, it is, but I'm just saying it's good that those two guys are now confident.
No doubt.
The guys are going to start games 1 and 2. They're coming off their best performances. They're confident. You know they got the stuff, too. That's the thing. You don't know if they're going to have the stuff then, but you know they got the stuff.
No, they got the stuff.
But you don't know if they'll have it game 1 of the biggest, obviously the biggest championship series of their lives.
Valdez with the sinker. Garcia was really mixing the fastball and then also a slider to go with it, and he looked fantastic. Kyle Tucker again,
man,
with that final punch, that final blow. It's 2-0, bottom of the eighth. You're feeling good, but as Rod would tell you, any Astros fan, okay, well, we still don't know about our bullpen. I mean, there's some trust there, but how much trust? And Stanek and Presley were great. Graveman, who they traded for from Seattle, gave them something. So the bullpen was doing their job, but when you get up 5-0, that thing was over with. That place exploded.
I agree. They were just kind of riding a high at that point, just a high of momentum. And Astros can do that to you.
Yeah.
They can do that. They do have that quality. Remember, we brought this up. This is something the Oklahoma Sooners. Yeah, I brought this up. Actually, we were talking about the Sooners a couple of weeks ago. The Sooners used to possess under, when Kyler Murray was the starting quarterback or even Jalen Hurts, that the Golden State Warriors used to have too. And honestly, the Astros have a little bit of this where they can have this spurt, right, of just high-octane offense where they do that in 3, 4, 5 straight possessions and game's over. They just pull away. Or they, the Astros can do it in one inning like they did, you know, in the ALDS where they had that, what, five-run, sixth inning in game five. They can have those and then put the game away. And even though it was a tight game or a close game, it'll seem like it was a blowout. Kansas City used to be able to do it. They can't do it anymore. Oklahoma used to be able to do it, Oklahoma football, but they don't really do it under Spencer Rattler. Maybe Caleb Williams is different. And, you know, like the Golden State Warriors, the Astros used to have that quality. And I still think they have a little bit of that, too, with that lineup. It's so prolific that they can just they really can't just put you in a corner and just beat and just batter you to death.
They can, which is why, I know the Braves pitching has been a lot better, and props to the Braves getting to the World Series. As a Cubs fan, it doesn't really hit me when they're like, the first time since 1999. Well, cry me a river. You know, it's not that long. Trust me, as a baseball fan. But it has been a fun team that came together. Alex Anthopoulos, their GM, has done a great job. When Acuna goes out, as I talked about, the National League East is wide open, and no one wants to take it. Look, they had the 12th best record in baseball.
That's crazy.
Were two teams that didn't make the playoffs that had a better record. But this team, since the trade deadline, been the third best in the National League by record, and they have come together. And all of a sudden, I mean, this is more than a dangerous lineup. Eddie Rosario is feeling it. He's always been a good hitter going back to Minnesota. Freddie Freeman's been the best first baseman in baseball for 7 or 8 years. Albis has really taken a turn. I mean, it looked like a couple years ago maybe he's going to be that 230 hitter, but he's just gotten better and better. Austin Riley has shown the talent that he has to go with Duvall, who they brought in. I didn't mention Jorge Soler, Jock Peterson. Oh, wow, this is a pretty damn good team. And they've gotten their bullpen, Rod, including Tyler Matzek, who was fantastic, and A.J. Minter. They've gotten their bullpen to actually give them stuff they didn't think. And they've gotten pitching that they didn't think they were going to have. So this is a great lineup, or this is a great matchup, because the Braves are red hot, and the Dodgers, as you said, the Astros have the best lineup in baseball.
Yeah. As an Astros fan, I'm not scared, but I'm a little weary, a little anxious about this Braves team because they're hot. Like, they are rolling.
No, they are hot.
They're the hot. They're not better than the Astros. They're hotter than the Astros.
And that's big in every sport. It's the biggest in baseball.
Yeah, sometimes just the hot team theory, and right now they're just rolling. So, I don't know. I'm a little worried about that.
I would be.
I'm concerned about that.
And I just gave you the lineup. And Dansby Swanson's good. Why am I messing that up? The catcher who played at Pepperdine, so I can even give you the college he played at.
Old school.
Dinaro. Why am I messing that up?
Denard.
I forgot what it is. Okay. It's Travis. How about that? But but he's got his left thumb is all messed up, and that's where he catches. So he hadn't been great at bat, but that's literally the only guy I look at. And we'll see. They'll probably bring in Soler to be the DH. And so their lineup is close to the Astros. It's not as good, but that kind of gets back to your point that you're a little worried about it, that this is a team that I would watch out for. I mean, this should be a really fun series considering how hot they are and the way this lineup has been put together.
And is it a young team or a mix of veterans and young guys?
It's a mix.
Because they're ahead of schedule.
Yes, they
are. The point is they're supposed to be competing in like 2 years.
Well, once Acuna went out for the year, you just thought, okay. I mean, I liked him. I liked a lot of the young talent they had. And once Austin Riley put it together the way he did this year, then you thought, okay, that almost replaces what Acuna was going to give, but I still didn't think they were going to do this.
Yeah, that's what worries me.
It's been fun to watch. It's a baseball fan.
If you're an Astros man, if you're the Astros, you cannot allow the Braves to take this moment away from you. You got a chance to change historical narrative.
I agree with that.
Right? You're talking about the discourse of what they'll be.
But they may
about.
Just take it away from you.
They could.
They're that good or hot.
They could. In both, but. People will be talking about the Astros winning or losing this World Series long after they're talking about the Braves, whether they win or lose it.
Dano, that's what it is. It's that whole French thing.
Dano.
I didn't check the silent text line.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Y'all, I'm sure they lit you up.
But please do, because I don't know baseball.
Exactly. But the Astros, to me, the outcome for the Astros will have a more lasting effect in terms of the discourse and the narrative.
No question. This is about a bar in 20 years.
Right? Because they lose.
You're not going to be mentioning this Braves team, even if they sweep yeah. in 20 years.
If they lose the narrative sticks,
nothing against them.
You're cheaters.
Yeah.
If the I'm talking about in 20 years from now, the narrative may stick that you're cheaters. If you win this, because I don't know, there's no guarantee you're going to get back here. We're assuming because the Astros have had so much success, oh, they'll get back there. Oh, we don't know that. All right?
True.
You don't know that, man. Success is fleeting. You got to take advantage of the moment. But if the Astros win, then I think you could shift the conversation about them being cheaters into, hey, man, they're champions. They did cheat. Yes. But
they cheated for a reason.
They were champions after that.
But the biggest thing I've said the whole time is what it does is for the people that thought that was 90%, 85%, 80%, nah, it wasn't that heavy. And a lot of us baseball people told you at the time that have no Astros dog in the fight, that made jokes about them every day on the radio, that ripped on them, that we don't know how much it is. We'll see. And that's what this has kind of told us. But I promise you, it's not that much.
Yeah, it was like 35%.
Right, but they're doing it for a reason.
But that's still an advantage.
That's still a huge advantage.
Still an advantage. Yeah.
And what they've been able to prove here is that these guys can still really hit. So I'm excited about this. Let's get started tomorrow in Houston. Game number one. As Rod mentioned, you're going to have Framber Valdez going for Houston. And if he's got that sinker working like he did in Boston, that just felt like this really turned this series or that series, then watch out. And the Astros is going to try and you really want to take two at home here. You at least have to get a split. Let's get back to college football coming up next because there's a change being made in Lubbock. Matt Wells is gone. Who should Tech go after?
Wow, a little 80s. You got me going here, John.
Reminder.
Yep, you all know the words. Sing along.
Who? I'm trying to think.
Can he carry you?
I'm going to say USC.
Rod, the band? You have, yeah, the band player.
Wow, look at you.
Take on me.
Rod, you have a guess?
What band it is?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, wow. I'm going... I'm going to go Georgia.
This is good. I like this.
Yes. Neither of you are right.
We had a lot to choose from.
Yeah, it's true. It's Duke. It's Duke. Duke's marching band.
Oh, okay.
And for those of you who don't know, this is Take On Me by A-ha.
That's pretty good. Well, I tell you, marching bands playing popular songs is very underrated.
It is.
It's true.
It does. It puts you in a good mood.
I think I've got a rabbit hole that I'm going to be hitting.
No, I like that. Good job, John. Mm-hmm. Well done, man.
Yeah, so we're playing just popular songs or songs that we all know from marching bands. John's trying to cheer us up here as we had a bye week.
Good job.
Rod came in, threw a couple shots at Texas because he felt obligated.
I wasn't a couple of shots. I just came in one shot, and it was at Sark, one shot.
By the way, he didn't lose his T-ring. He sold it.
That's good.
I'm kidding.
That's hilarious.
I'm kidding.
He's definitely kidding, folks. That's pretty good. That's good.
You did lose it, though.
Well done.
No, the shots were fair. We're going to talk Texas Baylor coming up here at 5 o'clock. We'll get into that. But this was some breaking news today. You know, we've been all over the coaches getting fired, and maybe that's my Gringadamas that you talk about. Now, some of them are obvious. So Clay Helton, we knew. I knew Ed Orgeron 20 minutes after they won the national championship, and an hour during the national championship. That one was easy. That's just one of those where a very basic sports fan, and that's fine if that's the case. We'll go. Whoa, I mean, he's a great football coach now. No, he's not. Let's just not just give that title, and it's hard to argue it. It's really hard to argue it at the time. No, I go, no, he's not.
No, it wasn't hard to argue it. No, I don't think it was because the coordinator.
You weren't on the text line.
I know, but it was Joe Brady coming because I had a little obsession with Joe Brady, as you know. When they brought Joe Brady in, I'd said, I'm telling you, this thing is going to. He's going to transform this LSU offense, take it from the 19th century offense pretty much to a 21st century offense, which is exactly what he did. So I've been studying Joe Brady for a little while.
He did, but Joe Brady hadn't been a coordinator yet, too. So you kind of wonder what kind of play caller you're going to be.
But he had done a lot of coaching. Like Matt Rhule fell in love with Joe Brady. Like apparently in the coaching world, Joe Brady had already been around.
He'd gotten the props.
He had gotten the props a little bit. That's why they trusted him. Like, okay, you know, Joe Brady, you can take him.
Right.
And he'll.
We had heard that
on the fast track.
We knew Dave Aranda was a good coordinator, and we knew
Dave Aranda
was loaded, and that was just a magical run, kind of once in a lifetime run.
That's why I think your theory wasn't crazy at the time. I remember when you said, and I was like, that's not crazy.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Oh, I don't think it was crazy.
Well, because remember we saw.
That's why I said the basic sports fan would just say that didn't add up.
And we saw what happened with Auburn, right? That'd be like saying that, you know, Gene Chizik was a great coach because they, you know, won everything in 2010.
No doubt.
Everybody knows that. Well, that was mostly Gus Malzahn's offense with Cam Newton.
We've seen that in college and pro before. I mean, I can go back to Barry Switzer in 95.
Yeah.
I didn't all of a sudden, you know.
Oh, for the Cowboys?
He's a great pro football coach.
Exactly.
Right? No, not really. Matt Wells was not a good college coach.
No.
Certainly not at Tech. Now, he came from Utah State where he did some good things. I always say be careful. Now, I'm not sure Utah State's at that level, but kind of kingmakers in those programs where you've got certain advantages at that level, and it can make you think, okay, you can bump to the next
level.
Stepping
stone jobs.
Matt Wells was fired, and we kind of saw this one coming, getting back to that point, that this one, I think most people looked at and said, not sure Matt Wells is going to be there. I was hearing that from Lubbock people going back to last year that they're not happy with Matt Wells. They weren't happy early on, but I guess the final straw was obviously Saturday. So Saturday, remember, we picked in Supreme Lending.
Hey, good job.
Yeah.
You picked Tech. You picked K-State.
I picked K-State.
Good job. That was a good move.
I didn't feel good about it.
You
because
didn't, but you feel you got the gut, man. You went with your gut.
Because it was, 24-0? Was that the score?
I don't know, but it was Tech was up. Tech was up.
They were blowing.
Yeah, they were by double digits.
It may have been 24-0. It was 29. I mean, it was I turned it off and said, okay, this game's over with. Kansas State then scores 25 and wins 25-24, and that was going to be enough. Tech has Oklahoma this week. This is one of those weird jobs, Rod, that it's always been a weird job. And I say that meaning that, okay, how much money will they pay? And that's gone up a lot in our lifetime, certainly the last 5 to 10 years. But what do coaches look at? And it's in a weird spot, obviously, in Texas, but it's in Texas. Was in a Power 5 conference, is that still going to be the case? And that's something you brought up during the break that I think is going to be a litmus test as we move forward now with the Big 12 schools, remaining Big 12 schools. How do coaches and their agents view that?
Yeah, I mean, if you are a Jeff Traylor, you know, going to Tech, it sounds like it's a good plan, but as if Tech ends up in a Power 5 conference, we don't know with everything going on in college football, realignment imminent, of course, and we know that there's going to be more realignment after that, the dominoes yet to fall. You know, where is the Big 12 and all that? So if you're at a place like UTSA and you've already, you know, rejuvenated the program to a certain extent, you know, why make a kind of a parallel move if you are Jeff Traylor? And when you want to make a move to a school that you know is going to be in a Power 5 conference, even if it's a lower-level Power 5 school, at least it's in a Power 5 conference. And I'm not sure if Tech is going to be there in the end or in the four super conferences which are to come, because maybe they won't be Power 5 anymore because the Big 12 is not considered a Power 5 conference without Texas and Oklahoma.
That's going to be interesting. So I think we're going to we always get a feel for just how serious or what the future is going to be, what the future landscape is going to be, but you don't get it until you get situations like this. So we'll see what Texas Tech does. They led in this game, led by 14 three different times.
Ooh.
They
14 three different times.
They had no business losing this game. And trust me, I'm saying that as a Texas fan when we've said that before this year. It's like, how do you lose that game? And Tech did. So I don't know. Do you go up to Jeff Traylor? I would think you do. Traylor want that job?
I don't think he's going to take that job. I'm telling you, I don't think he considers that an upgrade enough. He could end up upgrading somewhere. Now, he wants to. This is the thing. This is why you might get him. Because I think he loves the state of Texas.
He does.
And I think he wants to stay close. And I'm thinking about what jobs.
But he's a Beast Texas guy.
He is a Beast Texas guy.
So that would
guy.
Cover all of it, I guess.
That's true. But I wonder, you know, if he wants to stay in the state of Texas, you know, there aren't a lot of jobs open. Or that are going to be open in the state of Texas. So he might have to come to Texas, come back to the state later on when there's a big-time job open. So I'm with you. I think he can end up getting a job at a lower-level ACC conference or SEC conference. I don't know which one of those jobs is going to open up.
So you'd wait for, and this would be high-level, but a Missouri.
I would.
You're that huge, hot name. Billy Napier's done that.
Billy Napier is in a prime position right now. Exactly.
So does Jeff Traylor kind of follow that and say, no, I'm going to wait here?
I would wait if I was Jeff Traylor. The Tech, just because of the, not because disrespecting Tech, just because of the changing, evolving landscape of college sports, which is coming in, what, 2 or 3 years, we know.
Yeah.
We just don't know how it's all going to play out right now.
I would think, I mean, do they go after Graham Harrell, who is now offensive coordinator for a coach who got fired? Sonny Cumbie is, I think, going to take over here now and was the offensive coordinator at Tech.
Can I put his name in there?
He's only been with Matt Wells for a couple months. He doesn't have all that stain on him, right?
Yeah.
No, you already wanted to fire Wells 8 months ago.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. That's a good option, too. I mean, they got to be open to all options.
They really do.
Yeah. The big names and then the up-and-comers.
And look, I mean, you go back to Mike Leach, and it hasn't been great for them. I mean, even the guy, they got a guy who's undefeated in the NFL right now, and he didn't work out there.
Yeah, they fired him, and now he's doing well in the league.
And he wasn't working out there. Let's be honest about that. It's revisionist history is easy. He wasn't working out there.
No, he wasn't working out there.
Now, should you have given him more time? That's certainly fair if you want to look at that.
And of course, the Mike Leach debacle, the way it all went down, which is, I don't know whose fault that all was, but that was a lot of different factors to play in that, too.
So this is CB. CB was saying this. Now, after firing Leach, now Tech is on its sixth head coach. That includes interim coaches and has had 7 losing seasons, including 5 straight.
Yeah, because they had a guy who was perfectly compatible with the community and the program. And then once, now they keep looking for that again, which they're honestly never going to find it. They're
also
never going to find
ahead
it.
Ahead of the time.
He was ahead of his time. Yes, schematically. He was ahead of the game, yes.
So he gave you an advantage.
Yeah.
Hour number one is in the books. We'll get back to college football, give you a full college football recap, including the Big 12. Big 12 still open. Oklahoma survives a scare. ISU, that was a game we all kind of expected. They move on, and we'll start to get into Texas a little bit as well. This is RBKD on the Horn.